Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. With open borders and illegal immigrants, asylum seekers, undocumented aliens, migrants, refugees, whatever you want to call them, streaming across the border into our country, this is a major crisis. It's no exaggeration that so many are saying this is an invasion, especially those communities being flooded with these migrants. But it's not an invasion for elitist enclaves like Martha's Vineyard. A busload of 50 immigrants showed up there, and the civic leaders of Martha's Vineyard, you know, had the National Guard remove them immediately. But for cities in Texas and in other red states, they have to accept these illegal immigrants. On average, every day, 8,000 migrants walk across the U.S. border and claim asylum, about 250,000 per month. And the Biden administration has directed the Border Patrol to register these people and release them into the country. Over the past 3 years that Biden's been in office, there has been at least 2.5 million immigrants released into the United States. And that's a conservative estimate. More people than the entire state of Kansas or New Mexico or Mississippi or West Virginia. And they enter the United States without having any housing or jobs or money. They're just released into the general public. Some stay in government tent cities. Others, or very few, find subsidized government housing. And others just find their own makeshift housing or live on the streets. Now, this is happening at the exact same time the United States is having a housing shortage. And this is contributing to the housing shortage. New York City has taken in about 150,000 migrants and is renting hotel rooms to house them, spending $1 billion to rent these rooms, which is a boon for hotel owners, but the city can't afford it. The whole program could be dedicated to just describing what's happening at the border and the Biden administration response, or lack thereof. But most of us are aware of the political situation and even the battle Texas is having with the federal government over policing Eagle Pass. But what I want to tackle in this program is the lie that opening the border to these asylum seekers is compassion. That if America is virtuous, our borders need to be open to these people. That for all of the lawlessness and the trouble, it's still helping people, so it's okay. This is what we are as Americans. And that's what leftist politicians always say. After all, the bronze plaque at the base of the Statue of Liberty says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." A twisting of the meaning of this invitation is the lie that's allowing Democrats to get away with open borders. The Democrat leadership has ulterior motives for open borders, and we'll look at that momentarily. But the way this policy is being sold is under the guise of compassion and charity. And biblically, this is what always happens. Error cannot succeed unless it's sold by using some alleged virtue, and the naive fall for it. Here is the classic biblical text in this regard, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 18. "Woe to those who drag iniquity with the cords of falsehood, and sin as if with cart ropes." So do you see the picture? In order to move sin along, it has to be pulled by a cord of falsehood. So whenever we see sin, error, moral, political, social, something that directly violates the moral law of God, you can always be sure there's going to be some lie or falsehood to justify it. Just expect it. And most often, the lie is that this iniquity, whether it be Marxism or abortion or government greed or LGBTQ, is helping people, that it's love. Now, I'm not saying that every time we see charity or love, it's a covering for evil, but evil will always use the cover of charity and love. So we must be very discerning. And this is a very tough nut to crack, because the devil will always appear as an angel of light. And if all one has is a very superficial, shallow understanding of biblical morality and ethics, he will be easily deceived. Romans 16:18, for such men are slaves, not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. Open border advocates will support open borders with verses such as Matthew 25:35, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Or Deuteronomy chapter 10, God executes justice for the orphan and the widow and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for the alien, for you are aliens in the land of Egypt. There are many other similar verses that are used to put guilt on those who might oppose open borders. Guilt upon those who really don't know what's going on. That this crisis is not about innocent strangers, but about greed. But with these verses, those who don't support open borders can easily be called Pharisees, xenophobes, dangerous hate groups. Here's an article from the leftist site Vox entitled, "The Bible Says Welcome Immigrants, So Why Don't White Evangelicals?" And the gist of the article is quoting all these Bible verses concerning welcoming foreigners, and then going on to explain that white evangelicals don't take these verses literally because they're racist. They have, quote, an isolationist vision of community, which is synonymous with Christian nationalism. And, quote, white American evangelicals have, at least since the 1970s, been wary of counting non-whites or non-Americans among the least of these. As historian Randall Balmer has frequently argued, the rise of the moral majority and the Reagan-era political evangelical religious right in America was due as much to objections to desegregation as to more obvious contentious issues like LGBTQ and abortion. So this is the argument or the tactic of the left, explaining conservatism as racism. And notice how not accepting open borders is tied to not accepting LGBTQ and abortion. And the left loves to use this absolutely offensive label, white evangelicals. That is so racist. What about Hispanic evangelicals who are against open borders? Here's an article from The Hill. The majority of Hispanics in Texas support Governor Abbott's policies to protect the border. And 41% of Hispanics in Texas voted for Trump in the last election, an increase from 2016. In Texas's 34th congressional district, a border district, a Hispanic woman, Mayra Flores, is running against a Democrat congressman. And Flores's platform is that the southern border is a disaster. Illegal immigration is out of control and must be stopped. So much for the claim that white evangelicals are opposed to open borders because of racism. No, it's a moral issue. But the left has to build a straw man depiction of those who oppose open borders. But back to the point. And hearing all of these accusations about being unloving and this selective quoting of Bible verses, many in the Christian community, evangelicals, will back down, feel guilty, or shy away from speaking to the issue. But I refuse to buy into this migrant lie from the left, and you shouldn't either. Instead, we should be discerning enough and bold enough to call it what it is. Open borders is taking advantage of the poor. It's not helping people. It's hurting people. And once again, as I've said for years, every leftist policy that claims to help people in the end always hurts people. As in how the left destroyed minority communities by creating the Great Welfare Society, how the left hurts women in feminism and abortion, how the left has destroyed the next generation by banning scriptures from public schools, how the left is hurting children with transgenderism. And it's just the same now with the border situation. The left is destroying these migrants for their own selfish greed for power. Here's the situation. These people, many of whom are families, are coming to America for the promise of economic prosperity. Just about every survey shows this to be the case. They're coming to America for the American dream, and they're being sorely disappointed. They're selling their homes and lands and paying coyotes between $10,000 and $15,000 to take them over the border into America. And many single young men are hearing about the welfare cards and the food stamps being provided in America. So they say, hey, why not? Let's go on a trip to America. Let's get some free stuff. What's the worst that could happen? We get sent back, but hey, we have a great adventure. I'm sure you've heard that New York City is handing out to immigrants $53 million in prepaid credit cards. But again, that's nothing compared to what the city is spending on hotels and catered meals. So if we want to talk about Christian values and charity, how about addressing the temptation and the deception of materialism? Because it's greed for materialism that's actually driving this crisis. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Then Jesus said to them, "Be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist in possessions." So the real quality of your life has nothing to do with materialism. Mark chapter 4, verse 9. Jesus spoke about the deceitfulness of riches. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4. Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it's gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. 1 Timothy chapter 6. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evils, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. And that's what's happening. Because these immigrants are following the lure of wealth, they are piercing themselves with many griefs. Life in America can be very difficult. The average home price in America is $387,000. If as an immigrant, you earn $15 an hour, and if you took every penny you earned and put it toward the house, the principal, the interest, the taxes, which is really impossible to do because there are other living expenses, but if you could, it would take an immigrant his entire working life to buy the average American house. And in the end, what does he have? A pile of 2x4s. Allowing these people to come in on the basis of what is in effect a false prosperity gospel is assigning them to poverty and to being a slave to the system. Do you know how much the average house price is in Mexico? $90,000. 1/4 the price of a house in America. And in most Central American countries, you can buy a nice home for under $50,000. It's all relative. Sure, wages are higher in America, but the cost of food and housing and taxes are commensurately higher. In every country, wages match food and housing cost. So relatively, you're no better off in America. Minimum wage in Mexico is $1.75. And in the U.S., just like housing prices, the minimum wage is 4 times higher. If you're poor, unskilled, unemployed in your home country, guess what? When you come to America, you're going to be poor, unskilled, and unemployed. And you'll probably be in a worse situation because you don't know the language and the culture. You know, if just what New York City or Chicago or Boston spent on each of these immigrants was given to these immigrants back in their home country, they'd be set for life. If just what these immigrants are paying coyotes was used by these immigrants to buy homes in their own country, they'd be just fine. But just like huckster televangelists who promise people riches if they put down their seed money, if they make a sacrifice, the world, leftist humanists, have their own form of religious hucksterism, taking advantage of the poor. And I find it amazing that the left, these virtue signaling politicians in New York, are claiming that New York City is a sanctuary city. What a joke. I would never send an immigrant to New York City. The average rent on an apartment is $4,000 a month. Food and gas prices are ridiculous. There aren't enough apartments and space for the people who are already in the city. My counsel to those in my area who call me for financial help is, why are you trying to live in one of the most expensive areas of the country? Don't you realize that you can buy a used mobile home in Tennessee for the price of a used car? And you can work at Walmart and actually make it. But no, these leftist intellectuals, they don't care about practical reality. All they care about is their virtue signaling and their ideology. And their ideology is actually materialistic, that money and riches buy happiness. Just like Karl Marx, his big contention was that life is all about materialism. The house, the car, the clothing, the furnishings. The big struggle in life is about getting stuff. That man's life consists in the abundance of what he possesses, which is the exact opposite of what Jesus said. It actually takes the philosophy of Marxism to sell open borders. People have to first judge the quality of life and judge happiness by materialism. But real wealth is having God and God's word. That's a source of purpose, fulfillment, happiness. If you live in a shack in a third world country, but you have God and his word, and you have a fellowship of believers, you are truly wealthy. You have more wealth than an unbeliever who lives on Fifth Avenue. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, as to what you put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Down in verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. But if you go after the lure of wealth, you're only going to receive sorrow and pain. And this is what Christian missionaries are telling these migrants back in their home countries. Not only will they not find happiness in America, but America is a place of great temptation. It's like Abraham's nephew Lot, who decided to move his family down to the plains of Sodom because the land was so rich. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, there in Sodom, Lot was oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, and he felt his righteous soul tormented day by day by their lawless deeds. America is not what it used to be. The schools are teaching transgenderism. The country is going bankrupt. There's crime. There's strife. There's immorality. There's pornography. There's a fentanyl crisis. The entertainment coming from social media, the internet, TV programs can ruin your family. When World War III breaks out, nuclear bombs are not going to be dropping on San Pablo, Mexico. they're going to be falling on American cities. So maybe from just an eschatological point of view, America might not be the best place to live. Revelation chapter 18. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit. Revelation 18, verse 3. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. Verse 8. For this reason, in one day, her plagues will come, pestilence, mourning, and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. If I had to emigrate to a foreign country, how about El Salvador? Did you hear that the president was just reelected by 90% of the voters? Because of his conservative values, he put an end to crime by arresting all of the gangs and the drug cartels. In El Salvador, abortion is illegal. Gay marriage is illegal. No exception. No civil unions. No transgenderism. You know, furthermore, it's really disingenuous that all of these people on the left who hate America, who claim that America is racist, who despise any talk of American exceptionalism, as in this New Yorker Intelligencer article, American exceptionalism is a dangerous myth. These people will then turn around and say that this is so wonderful that these migrants are coming to America. We need to open the door to them so that they can have a better life in America and experience American exceptionalism. It certainly comes across as elitist snobbery. You would think that these leftists who are, you know, into multiculturalism and globalism would be the first to be telling these migrants to stay in their home country, that their home countries are just as good. They're so against American exceptionalism, saying that America is no better than any other country, that America is not a great country. So why all of a sudden are they affirming and encouraging these people to come to America? Andrew Callaghan has a YouTube channel called Channel 5, and it has 2.5 million subscribers. He recently filmed a YouTube where he goes to Eagle Pass and crosses over into Mexico, and there interviews some coyotes as they show him their operation. He asked one of the smugglers about the motivations of these migrants. And this coyote says straight up what we all know, but what no one is talking about. He says these migrants are being given the false promise of a great life in the United States. They have unrealistic expectations of what their lives are going to be like in the U.S. Quote, they think their lives will be better. Better jobs, better food, better housing. But dude, I've lived over there in America for a bit, and I felt like I was trapped, working, sleeping, working, sleeping. That's the only thing you do. But this smuggler then admitted he doesn't tell these migrants about the reality. He just takes their money. And when asked if he would someday like to go to America, he said, no, I enjoy my life here. I am against open borders, illegal immigration, asylum seekers, because I love the foreigner, because I want to do the best for these people, because I want to do to others as I would have them do unto me. And let me encourage you to also answer the proponents of open borders the same way. If you love your neighbor, you will shut down the border and save these people an enormous amount of pain and sorrow, the sorrow that comes from the deceitfulness of riches. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 22. A man with an evil eye, that's greed, hastens after wealth and does not know what will come upon him. Stop trying to argue on the basis of the gangs and the criminal activity coming in. Certainly that's happening. But the argument coming from the Democrats is that still we're helping these poor asylum seekers and that justifies everything. But that too is a lie. And the Democrat voters will not demand closing the borders until the harm that they're doing is exposed. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the Democrat Party has ulterior motives for opening the border. And we all know what it is. They want to secure more Democrat voters. They want to change the American electorate so that Republicans will never again win the White House or Congress. It worked before at the beginning of the 20th century. The Democrats lost the moral battle in their support for slavery. And they would never again win another election, but by bringing in European immigrants into American cities, the Democrats were able to gain new Democrat voters and turn those cities into Democrat strongholds. These immigrants did not have the same American political values, and they were looking for government handouts, to which the Democrat Party played up to. And not only are the Democrats looking for new voters overall, the Democrats specifically want to flood red states like Texas with an immigrant population to turn it from red to blue. And for Democrat operatives, they even want to get back and punish red states. Here's an interesting piece explaining the strategy. Our open border policy is not an accident. There's a new strategy in town. If American voters don't like what you're offering, import better voters. Quote, Biden's radical immigration policy represents not only a policy revolution, but also a political revolution. The Democrat Party changed its immigration policies when its leaders began to hope they could import voters to compensate for the loss of voters that Democrat policies were alienating. Unquote. So open borders is a new Democrat political strategy. Who said the following? Quote, we all agree that we need to better secure the border and to punish employers who choose to hire illegal immigrants. We're a generous and welcoming people here in the United States, but those who are entering the country illegally and those who employ them disrespect the rule of law, and they're showing disregard for those who are following the law. We simply cannot allow people to pour into the United States undetected, undocumented, unchecked, and circumventing the line of people who are waiting to patiently, diligently, and lawfully become immigrants in this country. Who said that?
Yeah, we all agree on the need to better secure the border and to punish employers who choose to hire illegal immigrants. We are a generous and welcoming people here in the United States, but those who enter the country illegally and those who employ them disrespect the rule of law, and they are showing disregard for those who are following the law. We simply cannot allow people to pour into the United States undetected, undocumented, unchecked, and circumventing the line of people who are waiting patiently, diligently, and lawfully to become immigrants.
So how all of a sudden did the Democrats change their position? Did they all of a sudden receive an infusion of compassion and morality that they didn't have 15 years ago? No, Democrats are opening borders for political gain under the masquerade of charity. Don't be naive. Now, there's a lot to explain in regard to this strategy. The Senate immigration bill was just posted. There's a lot of scripture to unpack concerning how God judges a nation by replacing its citizens with foreigners. But we'll discuss that all in the program next week. Until then, keep in the word, keep reading and studying the scripture, and then stand for the truth. May Jesus Christ reign.